Morning. The Lord be with you. We are glad you're here, and this is a day when we celebrate the service of everyone within the church with ordination and installation of church officers. So that is always an important day in the life of our church. If you're visiting with us, we're glad you're here. Please join us for a coffee hour. It's by the second and third graders, I think, today are providing it. I think that's what it says, or two of the classes. Did I get that right, second and third? All right. Thank you very much. And please, everyone, sign the friendship pads you'll find in the center sections. They go over the windows and back and up in the balcony. Just a couple of quick announcements. This Sunday is the Sunday before Lent. And so it begins on Ash Wednesday, and we will gather here, as we traditionally have, in the sanctuary on Wednesday night at 7:30 for a service of worship and the imposition of ashes. You're welcome. If you don't want to partake of the imposition of ashes, you're still very welcome to come to the service. And on subsequent Wednesday nights, there will be a Lenten Bible study, and you'll find information about that on page 6 of your bulletin, and I believe that for now, that is all the announcements I have. Hannah?
Youth group, tonight we have the Valentine's Day parties, middle school first from 5 to 6:30, and high school following from 6:30 to 8. And high schoolers, if you want to go on the mini mission trip to New York City the last weekend of this month, today is the last day to register for that. I know you all want to go, so just let me know so that I can count you among the many. And let us prepare our hearts and minds to worship God.
As the kids are coming up, come on up. I neglected to introduce our guest organist for the day. He's been with us a number of times. Larry Kettlecamp, glad to have you with us. Dawn is, there you go, look at that. Just for being here. Thank you. Sing to the Lord, all the earth.
God calls light out of darkness.
God's glory shines in the face of Jesus Christ.
Let us worship God.
Please remain standing and take your bulletin and turn to the prayer of confession and let us pray this prayer in unison. God, our Creator, we confess that we are broken, sinful creatures. You shine with perfect beauty, but we turn away from your presence. You blaze with heavenly glory, but we hide our faces from your truth. Forgive us, God of grace. Shine in our hearts this day through the light of your word,
so that we may glorify you forever. Through Jesus
Christ our Lord. Amen. The scripture tells us that as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is God's steadfast love toward those who fear him. And as far as the east is from the west, so far does God remove our transgressions from us. Brothers and sisters, hear the good news. In Jesus Christ, we are forgiven. Amen. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Ghost, as it was in the beginning, is now and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. Amen. Let us greet each other with the peace of Christ, and the children may come forward for the children's message. Peace of Christ. We do the dark song.
Remember that? It's back.
It's after the offertory. Yeah. It's before the prayer.
What's going on?
Oh, man. It's never done in there.
Let's make room for Juna Mitchell. Can I have it? Or do you want it? It's beautiful. Good morning. I'm going to share a story with everyone in a little bit. And if you're still in here, you can listen when I share it with the adults, okay? It's a story about Jesus and three of his disciples, Peter, James, and John, going up to on top of a mountain, and something, you might say, magical happens. Something truly wonderful and divine. And I want you to listen for that story. Even if you're in the nursery, you'll be able to hear it. Yes?
The angel.
There's no angel in this story. Angels are magical, wonderful, and divine. But this story is just about something spectacular that happened to Jesus, and God's voice comes and says something. So that's coming. But the other thing that's coming is this week on Wednesday, a special season in church called Lent starts. And Lent is the 40 days, not counting Sundays, that lead up to Easter. Easter is the day when we celebrate the resurrection of Jesus that gives us all life eternal. It's a wonderful day of life and love and abundance. And we're leading up to that day. On that day, we might shout something out of joy. That something would be the word, Alleluia. On Easter morning, when you wake up, you might well, before you even remember the Easter bunny, shout to your parents, Alleluia, Christ is risen. And it'll be wonderful and joyful. But we have to prepare our hearts and our minds and our souls to be ready for that kind of joy. We have to contemplate. We have to think about God and all of the wonderful things God has done for us. All of the things that Jesus taught us, and we think about the ways that we can serve Jesus. Fourth and fifth graders talked about that in Sunday school this morning. You can serve Jesus by helping others and volunteering and donating. Those are good things to do in Lent as we prepare for Easter and think about God's love. Now there's one word, that word we would say on Easter, that we don't say during Lent. Alleluia. That's right. Alleluia. So to help us remember not to say it, it's okay if you do. It's just a fun thing we do. But to help us remember not to say it, I thought we might all shout Alleluia into this tube, and then I'll put the lid on it, and they'll stay there until Easter morning, okay? All right? So each of you gets a chance to say, you can whisper or shout, whichever you prefer, into the tube. Do you want to go first? Do you want someone else to? Okay, somebody else. We'll start over here, all right? You're going to be last, okay? All right.
I want to be first.
Hallelujah.
Get them in there. That's right. Do you want to do it? You can whisper it.
Hallelujah.
Good job.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
You going to shout it, James?
Hallelujah.
Good job. Celia, you want to say Alleluia into the tube? Do you want your mom to do it for you? Mitchell, you going to get one in there? Okay. All right, here we go. Alleluia!
How about the rest of us?
Oh, the rest of you can do it too. All right, ready? One, two, three.
Alleluia!
All right, I think we got them all in there. Now, this will be in here, keeping them contained until Easter morning, when we get to shout with joy again.
When is Easter?
Easter is April 1st this year. 40 days plus Sundays. All right, you ready to pray? You can repeat after me. Dear God,
help us prepare
to shout with joy your special word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Wonderful. You guys can go sit with your parents or go to the nursery, whichever you prefer.
Good morning. Today, on behalf of the Outreach Committee, I bring you this message. This Mission Minute is about you, me, and Jesus. We can all vouch for the fact that Jesus was kind. You and I have joined this congregation in singing words like, "I want to be more like Jesus, and here I am, Lord." Well, let's put these words into action. During the next 40 days, let's do a small act of kindness each day. What would this look like? Well, how about a phone call to a friend you haven't spoken to for a while? A note to a shut-in to let them know you are thinking about them. You could visit a person in the hospital and share fond memories with them. Better yet, visit someone in a nursing home and read to them for a while. If you do crafts, give one to a neighbor. If you bake, take warm blueberry muffins to someone who is grieving. Buy a stranger a hamburger at McDonald's. Visit or call someone from our congregation who you have not seen in church for a while. If you need a suggestion of who to visit, see a member of the outreach committee. Let them know that we miss them and they are always welcome here. I know that if you think about this, you will also come up with a lot of acts of kindness on your own. Keep track of what you have done. You can pick up a journal as you leave today, and as you review your list, you will experience a new joy in being kind. Our challenge to each member of this congregation is to do a small act of kindness each day during Lent. At the end of these 40 days, you will be able to proudly say that when you told the Lord that here I am, you joyfully put that into action, and as you act more like Jesus, these little acts of kindness will mean the world to the people who receive them.
This is in the Bible, page 519, Psalm 50, 1 through 6. Psalm from Asaph. The mighty one, God the Lord, speaks and summons the earth from the rising of the sun to the setting. Out of Zion, the perfection of beauty, God shines forth. Our God comes and does not keep silent. Before him is a devouring fire and a mighty tempest all around him. He calls to the heavens above and to the earth that he may judge his people. Gather to me, my faithful ones, who made a covenant with me by sacrifice. The heavens declare his righteousness, for God himself is judge.
Thanks.
She's had two rehearsals with us so far, and you know James, but we're going to move down a little bit this way. Okay. This is Morgan, Jenna, Harry, Grace, James, and Jenny, with a G, I might add, Evan, Owen, Anna, Corbin, and Cameron. That's your children's choir. And Mrs. Connie, will you stand up, please? Mrs. Connie. Today we got a request from Mrs. Connie to sing this song. But the children didn't know exactly who Mrs. Connie was. So that's Mrs. Connie. And when I was your age, she was singing in the chancel choir. Owen's grandpa was directing it. Great-grandpa, Owen's great-grandma, was singing with me, and many others who are out there who are in the choir. Thank you for having us do this. We're going to give gifts to you today. So when we get to the end of the song, when the chorus begins, we're going to be handing out hearts to you. We're giving you our hearts.
Let's give God thanks for the gift of children. Please join your hearts with mine in the spirit of prayer. God of shining splendor, your voice makes the earth tremble in wonder. We pray now that you would overshadow us with your spirit so that we may hear your word and live it as faithful disciples and covenant people through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Our gospel lesson this morning comes from the Gospel of Mark, chapter 9, verses 2 through 9, found on page 44 of the New Testament of your pew Bibles. Let us listen to the word of God. 6 days later, Jesus took with him Peter and James and John and led them up a high mountain apart by themselves. And he was transfigured before them. And his clothes became dazzling white, such as no one on earth could bleach them. And there appeared to them Elijah with Moses, who were talking with Jesus. Then Peter said to Jesus, "Rabbi, it is good for us to be here. Let us make three dwellings, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah." He did not know what to say, for they were terrified. Then a cloud overshadowed them, and from the cloud there came a voice, "This is my son, the beloved. Listen to him." Suddenly, when they looked around, they saw no one with them anymore, but only Jesus. And as they were coming down the mountain, Jesus ordered them to tell no one about what they had seen until after the Son of Man had risen from the dead. This is the word of God. Thanks be to God. This is the word of God. This is the life-changing magic of tidying up. It is the Japanese art of decluttering and organizing. In this book, author and professional organizer Marie Kondo offers a systematic, gratitude-based approach to organizing and decluttering your whole lives, which she calls the KonMari method. Now, the book and the magic, it is not for everyone. Plenty of people turn their nose up on it, but boy, was it for me. I loved every page. I was hooked when I read these words from the introduction. "My clients always sound so happy, and the results show that tidying has changed their way of thinking and their approach to life. In fact, it has changed their futures. Why? Because when you put your house in order, you put your affairs and your past in order too. And as a result, you can see quite clearly what you need in life and what you don't, and what you should and should not do. And when you finish putting your house in order, your life will change dramatically. Once you have experienced what it's like to have a truly ordered house, you'll feel your whole world brighten. Never again will you revert to clutter. This is what I call the magic of tidying. The effects," she says, "are stupendous. Not only will you never be messy again, but you'll also get a new start on life." Now, if I don't admit it, Michael will, I am still messy. I'm not sure that my future was changed or my past put in order. But I did come away from the exercise feeling freer, less controlled and defined by my belongings. I was able to acknowledge emotional attachments and discern which attachments were worth saving and which were best let go. I do still think about the life-changing magic of tidying up, even though I read it 3 years ago. And when my life is feeling particularly out of control, I'll do the KonMari method. I'll take out all of my clothes, and then I will refold them neatly and put them away in the way that the KonMari method prescribes, as if they were books, so that when you open the drawer, you see the binding of each item of clothing laid out before you, wrinkle-free and easy to pull out. It is insanely satisfying, and maybe even a little magical. But that, of course, is not the magic we are talking about today. The magic we are talking about today, I believe, is truly life-changing. At least, it certainly changed the lives of Peter, James, and John, and maybe yours too. It is the life-changing magic of transfiguration. You might say the Jesus art of cleaning up and sending out. 6 days after, Jesus asked his disciples, "Who do you say that I am?" And Peter answered, "You are the Messiah." And 6 days after, he began to teach about the suffering, death, and resurrection he would one day endure. And 6 days after, he said to the crowd following him, "If you want to be my follower, you must deny yourself and take up the cross and follow me. For those who want to save their lives will lose it, and those who lose their life for my sake will save it." 6 days. I imagine 6 days when Peter and James and John did a lot of thinking, a lot of wondering, and a lot of trying to sort it all out. Just who was this Messiah they were following? And what exactly were they following him to? And how exactly were they to lose their lives? For me, I would have spent those 6 days decluttering and organizing. I would have clung to my KonMari method. If I could just straighten up my house, get lost in organizing tangible things, then I'd be able to straighten out exactly what Jesus was saying. I'd be able to organize, perhaps even control, Jesus's intangible words. 6 days after, and still quite unsure, Jesus says to them, "Come to me to the top of that mountain." "Yes, Jesus. Yes, take us to the mountaintop. Tell us, Jesus, finally, exactly what you mean. Show us some perspective, Jesus, from atop that mountain." And so, full of hope, they follow him to the mountaintop. And when they get to the top of that mountain, Jesus' clothes began to shine like the brightest light, the hottest sun. He was transfigured before them, changed, elevated, transformed into something more beautiful, more spectacular, more dazzling, more divine. The whiteness of his clothes sparkled like sun reflecting on new snow. It was beyond any human possibility. It was magical, even divine. And there with him in the light of Jesus appeared Elijah and Moses. Elijah, Moses, and Jesus have a conversation about what God only knows. But Peter, he manages to interrupt them with one simple question. "Shall I make 3 shelters, one for each of you? It is a good thing to be here with you." I imagine if the story took place today, Peter's question would have been instead, "Can we take a selfie, Lord?" That's the way we memorialize moments these days. For millennials, if you don't get a picture of it, it didn't happen. And with that picture, you can escape back to that moment of happier times whenever you'd like. When life doesn't look so perfect, you can always find a picture in which you manage to make life seem perfect. And that's all Peter wanted to do. Just stay in this mountaintop moment. This could be perfection. In the heavenly light of Jesus, there was safety. Of course, Peter, James, and John were terrified. If we're unsure, verse 6 makes it plain. They were terrified. But as scary as it was, what awaited them at the bottom of the mountain was far more fearsome. Faced with the reality of Jesus' divinity, the certainty of a troublesome future sets in. There is no way that following this Jesus will lead to anything other than rebel-rousing, status quo challenging, and questioning the authority of Rome. It seems far safer to keep Jesus confined to this mountain than to let him loose on the kingdom below. A big cloud rolls over the top of the mountain. The men couldn't see one another, and from the cloud, a voice thunders, "This is my son. I love him so very much. Listen to him." And in a flash, everyone was gone but Jesus, Peter, James, and John. The dazzling white, the prophets of old, and the thundering cloud have left them, and only this regular mountaintop and four friends remain. They start down the mountain, and on the way, Jesus says, "Don't tell anyone about what you saw or heard on the top of the mountain. This is a secret until after the Son of Man is raised from the dead." Some secret to keep. The Jesus of Mark is often concerned with secret keeping. He's always asking the disciples to keep it a secret, to not tell anyone. And I think that in part for Jesus, the words didn't matter, only the action. Don't go telling everyone what you saw here. Rather, show them how your lives have been changed. And their lives certainly were changed. There's no way the others won't notice that the James, John, and Peter that went up that mountain are not the same James, John, and Peter who came back down. Peter, James, and John cannot go back down that mountain committed to the life they lived in the 6 days prior, committed to just pondering, questioning, reasoning, wondering, sorting, and organizing. Their lives are forever changed. Sure, they will have days of great perplexity and fear in their future, but on those days, they will hold fast to the sight of Jesus transfigured and the sound of God's voice echoing, "This is my son, the beloved. Listen to him." It seems that the appropriate response to a transfigured Jesus is a transfigured believer. Transfigured themselves, Peter, James, and John will do their darndest to listen to Jesus. And if this story is for you not merely a story, not merely some magic, but indeed the truth of God, of God's Son, of God's love, and of God's gospel message, then there is just no way that you can be the same either. God calls to us, "This is my son, my beloved. Listen to him." Will we? And before we answer that question, let us not forget what it means to listen to Jesus and to follow him. The preface that Mark gives the transfiguration is this, just in verse 9, chapter 1. "Those who try to save their lives will lose it, and those who lose their lives for Jesus' sake, for the sake of the good news, will save it." To listen to Jesus means to lose your life for Jesus' sake. To listen to Jesus means to challenge voices of oppression and violence and abuse, no matter how much power the world has given those voices. To listen to Jesus means to listen to the voices of the outcast, the marginalized, the silenced, the women, and the children, no matter how much their voices and their stories and their truths might challenge your privilege and power. To listen to Jesus means to accept others with radical hospitality and inclusivity, free of judgment, assumption, or condition. To listen to Jesus means to let go of this world with its concerns about fame, wealth and cheap happiness in favor of empathy, generosity, and joy in serving others. To listen to Jesus means to touch the untouchables, to confront the evil spirits, and to take on the burdens of your neighbors. To listen to Jesus means to humbly accept your own humanity and shortcomings, to know that you will get it wrong time and time again, and to cry out to God in prayer, "I believe, help my unbelief." To listen to Jesus means to be willing to follow Jesus right to the cross, the ultimate sacrifice made in love. It terrified Peter, James, and John. And if we're honest about the gospel truth, it terrifies us too. But the gospel truth is all we've got. It's the only real good news in this world. And it's not magic at all, but divine, a gift from God. And as much as it challenges us, so also it comforts us. It claims us and marks us alongside Jesus as the beloved children of God. It is the good news of the grace of God made known in God's promises, which always and forever exceed and explode our expectations. The good news of Jesus' teaching, preaching, caring, and very presence among us, it interrupts our lives, changes our present, brings meaning to our past, and contends that we imagine our future in a different kind of way. A way that, yes, includes the valley of the shadow of death, but also the grandeur of mountaintop splendor. A future with both the cross and the resurrection. Life and love abundant and eternal. So then, will we listen to him? By the grace of God, may it be so.
Thank you.
seated. We're going to ordain and install those who have said those very things. Here I am, Lord. When we as a congregation called them, it was God's call to them through our voices, and they said yes to the call by being willing to be elected. And yesterday, the session said yes as well, added agreement that these indeed are the people whom God has called to lead us as a church family in the boards of the elders and the deacons at this point in the life of our church. And so I'm going to ask all of those, your names are printed in the bulletin, and by the way, those who have served well and are taking a break from installed office, their names are also listed in the bulletin. Be sure to give them your thanks as you see them. But would all those to be ordained and installed please come forward at this time. Make room, can scrunch together, can be more than one line. These are elders and deacons together, and they are required to respond to the constitutional questions that are printed in the bulletin. Then there are questions specifically for elders and for deacons, and then we'll divide you up. But for now, let us turn to the beginning of the liturgy in the bulletin, where it says there are varieties of gifts. There are varieties of gifts, but it is the same Spirit who gives them.
There are different ways of serving
God, but it is the same Lord who is served.
God works through each person in a unique way, but it is God's purpose that is accomplished.
To each is given a gift of the Spirit to be used for the common good.
Together we are the body of Christ and individually members of it. This is the formal celebration of your hearing and responding to God's call in your life, and all of us agreeing with that call and saying yes. Some of you will be ordained to the office for the first time. Others are coming back and returning to office. But Pastor Hannah will now lead in the required questions.
Turn around so the congregation can see you.
There you go.
Do you trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, your Savior, acknowledge Him Lord of all and Head of the Church, and through Him believe in one God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit?
I do.
Do you accept the Scriptures of the Old and New Testament to be, by the Holy Spirit, the unique and authoritative witness to Jesus Christ in the Church Universal and God's Word to you?
I do.
Do you sincerely receive and adopt the essential tenets of the Reformed faith as expressed in the confessions of our church as authentic and reliable expositions of what Scripture leads us to believe and to do? And will you be instructed and led by these confessions as you lead the people of God?
I do and I will.
Will you fulfill your office in obedience to Jesus Christ under the authority of Scripture and be continually guided by our confessions?
I will.
Will you be governed by our church's polity, and will you abide by its discipline? Will you be a friend among your colleagues in ministry, working with them, subject to the ordering of God's Word and Spirit?
I will.
Will you, in your own life, seek to follow the Lord Jesus Christ, love your neighbors, and work for the reconciliation of the world. Do you promise to further the peace, unity, and purity of the church? And will you seek to serve the people with energy, intelligence, imagination, and love? Now to the elders, will you be a faithful elder, watching over the people, providing for their worship, nurture, and service? Will you share in government and discipline, serving in governing bodies of the church and in your ministry, will you try to show the love and justice of Jesus Christ? And to the deacons, will you be a faithful deacon, teaching charity, urging concern, and directing the people's help to the friendless and those in need? In your ministry, will you try to show the love and justice of Jesus Christ?
I will.
And to the congregation, do we, the people of the church, accept Jody Andrews, George Andrews, Pat Bors, Margie Conley, Matt Curran, Carol Edelston, Paul Furchek, Fritz Hager, K.Y. Huang, Mark Hughes, Ruth Jost, Cassandra Kazam, John Kirkner, Brenda Kirkner, David Stewart, Francis Stewart, and Craig Vandenberg as elders and deacons chosen by God through the voice of this congregation to lead us in the way of Jesus Christ and those starred to be ordained?
We do.
And do we agree to encourage them to respect their decisions and to follow as they guide us, serving Jesus Christ, who alone is the head of the church?
Now I would ask the deacons-elect to please have a seat in the front row. Turn back towards me, please. And those to be ordained as elders, Matthew Curran and David Stewart, we invite you to kneel if you so desire. And since ordination belongs to the church as a whole, it is traditional to invite anyone who has been who has held the office of elder, even if you're not presently in service, to come forward and participate with us. And even though you're being installed, you are also elders, and so you're participating in ordination and installation. And any ministers of word and sacrament are also invited to come forward. Would you please come forward now to participate with us? Yeah, lay hands. The prayer begins with "The Lord be with you." Let's everyone in the bulletin turn to that section. And yeah, just make, come on if you can. If you're touching somebody who's touching somebody, you're participating, and that's the way it goes. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give our thanks and praise.
Eternal God, we give you thanks for your steadfast faithfulness to us. In every age, you have called forth leaders to serve you and equip them with your gifts. You called pastors and teachers, bishops, elders, and deacons to build up your church. For your servants in every age, O God, and for the Church of Jesus Christ, we give you all thanks and praise. Now, God of grace, pour out your Holy Spirit upon Matthew and David as they are ordained to this office of elder, and to Jody, Pat, Fritz, Mark, Cassandra, and John as they again take up the responsibilities of active membership upon the session. Give them prudence and sound judgment, wisdom and courage to order the life of the church in obedience to your word. Nourish them in the life of the Holy Spirit, that they may exercise the ministry of oversight with humility and compassion. Please stand. We're continuing in a spirit of prayer. And if we'll step back, please. And I ask the deacons elect to come and stand in the front. We're going to greet everyone, and we're continuing in prayer. I always say this is like a ballet. This is like a dance. And deacons who are to be newly ordained are George Andrews, Margie Conley, and Fran Stewart. If you would care to and are able to, would you please kneel? And other deacons can gather around, and all of the elders, you who have just been ordained and installed, your first responsibility now is to participate in the ordination and installation of the deacons. So again, let us lay hands and continue in prayer. God of grace, pour out your Holy Spirit upon George, upon Margie, and upon Fran as they are ordained to the office of deacon. God, we also pray that you would bless Carol and Paul and KY, Ruth, Brenda, and Craig as they return again to active service as deacons in the church. Give them openness to the Holy Spirit's leading, that they may see and serve wherever there is need. And in everything, give them the mind of Christ, who did not grasp at greatness, but emptied himself to become a servant of your reign. Give them joy in their walk of faith and a sure sense of your abiding presence for their work of ministry. Holy God, make all of us strong in Christ to live as your people and to show forth your saving love in the world by the power of the Holy Spirit. Show us the transforming power of your grace in our life together, that we may all be servants of the gospel, offering a compelling witness in the world to the good news of Christ Jesus our Lord. In his name we pray, amen. Please stand. You are now in active service as elders and deacons in the Church of Jesus Christ and for this congregation. Be faithful and true in your ministry so that your whole life will bear witness to the crucified and risen Christ. As the scripture says, come to me, all you that are weary and are carrying heavy burdens, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Thank you for, again, taking up this responsibility, or new to the responsibility. Now we can all hug and shake hands and all of that. And you be sure, yes, welcome.
Let's pray. God of glory and God of grace, hear our prayers. Ever seeking your glory, we pray for the church. Transform us by your grace into the image of our Lord Jesus Christ, so that all may know your glory. Ever seeking your glory, we pray for the world. Establish your law of love in every land. Speak your prophetic word of justice and shine with blessing upon the poor. Ever seeking your glory, we pray for this community. Open our eyes and hearts to see the beauty of your face in the faces of our neighbors. Ever seeking your glory, we pray for loved ones. Look with tenderness and mercy upon all who need your care. Hold them in your healing light. Gracious God, turn our mourning into dancing and change our sorrow into joy, so that we may give you thanks and praise forever. Through Jesus Christ, the light of the world, who taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. There is only one Lord and God, from whom all things come, and for whom we live. Let us offer our lives to the Lord. Let's pray. We praise and thank you, Lord God, for the majesty of your work, the wisdom of your word, and the generosity of your grace. Let the gifts of our lives bear witness to your goodness and mercy, your faithfulness and justice, and your steadfast love for all. Amen.
Our sending out words are those from God in our scripture passage today. This is my son, my beloved, listen to him. And as you go out into the world, may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the abundant and everlasting love of God, and the peace of the Holy Spirit be with you and keep you this day and every day, one more time. Alleluia. Amen.